Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for Words of Wisdom, Plain and Simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. As always, it's an honor and a privilege to be able to come before the people of God as we explore the Word of God together in fellowship, the body of Christ. If you guys hear some sounds, I had to have a baby with me tonight in the studio, and I believe God's going to let everything work out together for our good. So let's be prayerful. It's a privilege. And I thank each and every one of you who have taken time from your busy schedule to come join us as we expound on the Word of God tonight. The title of our lesson is, God Never Keeps His People in the Dark. God never keeps his people in the dark. And we're going to come from the book of Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. And we're going to see what God has to say to us on tonight. Glory, hallelujah. And before we get into the lesson and go to God's throne of grace and prayer, I'm going to play a song, and we're going to come back, and we're going to have a word of prayer to God's throne where mercy can be found by our dear sister Pam. And at this time, I'm going to play a song. The title of the song is Faithful is Our God.
Clap your hands, everybody. Come on. If God's been faithful, then sing along with us. Everybody say faithful.
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 Faithful,
faithful is our God.
Faithful is our God.
Come on, all over the world.
Faithful.
Say faithful.
Faithful,
faithful,
faithful
is our God.
Faithful is our God.
Come on, say faithful.
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 Faithful,
faithful,
faithful
is our God.
Faithful is our God.
Yes, he is. Come on, say faithful.
Faithful.
Faithful,
faithful is our God.
I'm reaping the harvest.
I'm reaping the harvest God promised me.
Take back what the devil stole from me.
And
I rejoice today.
For I shall recover it all.
Yes, I rejoice today.
Faithful,
faithful,
faithful, faithful is our God.
just lets us know that God is a faithful God. He's faithful all the time, it's a part of his nature. And he's faithful towards his children. There's nothing that God have said that he won't do for you. You got to trust him. You got to believe him. And at this time, Sister Pam, your mic is open, and you could lead us to the God's throne of grace and prayer.
Good evening, everybody. Father God, thanking you tonight for the gift of life. Lord, we thank you for looking beyond our faults and supplying our every need. Thank you, Father God, for your Son, Jesus the Christ. Lord, we thank you for our teacher, our prayer warrior, Minister Diane Adams. Keep on using her, Lord, in ways that only you can. Father God, I ask you to continue to bless her and her family. Thank you, O God, for our Bible study. Lord, we thank you for everybody that's listening in on tonight. I ask that you continue to bless each and every one of them, their families, their finances, and their household. Lord, keep us all wrapped in your loving arms as we face our daily challenges. And it's in Jesus' name that I give thanks, and amen.
Thank you so much, Sister Pam, and thank you for your faithfulness.
You're
welcome. Thank you for showing up every Wednesday and bringing us the God's throne of grace as an intercessor. God honors it. And I thank God for you and your service.
You're welcome.
Well, it's time for our lesson. And that's why I say, if y'all hear some sounds, I have a two-month-old baby in the studio with me tonight. So I'm going to trust God and that everything is going to be all right. Our lesson tonight, the title is God Never Leaves His People in the Dark. You have to believe that. And the Bible has given us many and much evidence of how God warns his people and tell his people and try to turn them around and give them instructions. He just don't leave us in the dark. Someone asked me to start at the introduction time to talk about a person or place, something like that. So since our lesson tonight is coming from the book of Isaiah, I'm going to give a little intro on Isaiah. You know, we have to, at some point, know something about the characters who God allowed to pen his word. Isaiah is a book in the Old Testament. If I tell you a little bit about Isaiah, his father's name was Amoz, and there's no mention of his mother. Isaiah was married to a prophetess and had two sons. But little else is known about the early childhood of Isaiah's life. Isaiah was a scribe in the royal palace in Jerusalem. It was a respectable career, and he was very comfortable. You see, that position had its privileges. That's what Isaiah was doing. Oh, but God had something else in mind. We see Isaiah was doing and being comfortable with what he was doing. And he really wasn't looking for God in the aspect of, you know, lifting him up to another position in anything. But God came looking for him. You see, Isaiah received a vision of God. It's found in Isaiah 6 chapter in the first verse. The scripture saying, the year that King Isaiah died, I saw the Lord seated on the mount, high and exalted. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Isaiah was going about his business. God gave him a vision. Isaiah's vision was his commission. He understood it as his calling to be God's messenger for his people, and he became a prophet of God. Now we see how God went to Isaiah. the scripture and the word don't tell us, you know, it told us that he was he was in the temple. You know, he was a scribe. But God had something else in mind for Isaiah. Hallelujah. You know, in the Bible, there's prophets. Matter of fact, there's 17 prophets. 12 of the prophets are major, and 5 of the prophets are minor. Now, the prophets that's major, it's not because God looked at them as better or anything like that. The way they determine the prophets as major or minor was how much writing they did. So we see that Isaiah was a major prophet, because one thing you'll know about him, Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, have 66 books. And that's a lot of books. And that's why he's called a major prophet. Isaiah's job from God was to call the nation of Judah to turn from their lives of sin and to warn them of God's judgment and punishment if they didn't. God always warned his people. He never kept them in the dark. And I was thinking about this as I was studying today, and this came to me, and it makes so much sense. You see, God used prophets. One time he used judges, then he used kings, and sometimes he used priests. God had always had a spokesperson, because you remember after Adam and Eve sinned, it separated mankind from God because of his unrighteousness. And God didn't, you know, communicate and dwell with the people. But to keep them from being in the dark, he raised up men and women, gave them visions and dreams to go before the people and tell them God's intentions. Because God just didn't want to leave them in the dark. What a mighty God we serve. You see, he was called to tell him, like I say, about their ways, about their sins, and the punishment they will receive because of their actions. Y'all know many times in the Old Testament, the people, the Jews, who God had delivered from Egypt, brought them through the Red Sea, allowed a dead angel to pass over their doors to save their firstborn. The God that brought them in the wilderness for 40 years and provided all of their provisions. The God that did that, we know that many times the Jews turned their back on God, started worshiping idol gods, dealing in idolatry, turning their back on God. But it wasn't because God didn't want them. He told them, if you don't get it right and you don't change your ways, I'm going to allow a heathen nation. He did it with the Babylonians, and he did it with the Assyrians. He allowed them to capture his people. It was a part of the judgment and the punishment, but they were already told, because God don't leave his people in the dark. Isaiah was also called to tell God's plan for salvation through the Messiah. Isaiah accounts of God called leave little doubt about what motivated the prophet to be used by God, and he was dedicated unto death. His vision of God was unforgettable. Have you ever had an experience with God that was unforgettable? When you knew beyond a reasonable doubt that it was God. Many times people tell me, Sister Diane, something told me to do something, but I didn't know if it was the devil setting me up or if it was God. And, you know, I don't know every situation, but I could tell you this. If something is asking you to do something that's good, then that's probably God. Satan ain't going to ask you to do anything good for nobody because he just don't have it in him. He comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. You know, and when God called Isaiah as a prophet, he did not give him a prediction of great success. Come on, y'all. Y'all know if y'all know anything about the prophets in the Bible, many times the people wouldn't listen to them. And they hated them. And they didn't really hate them as much as they hated the word that they was given, being given to them by the prophet from God. See, nobody don't want you to tell them about themselves. Hallelujah, y'all. And that's what the prophets had to do. God told Isaiah the people would not listen, but he was to speak and write his message anyway. And watch this, a message for us today. He said, because eventually some would listen, because there will always be remnants. The world we live in today is full of darkness and evil. Hallelujah. And it almost seemed like speaking a word about salvation of Jesus Christ or the love of God would fall on all deaf ears. But God told Isaiah, there will always be a remnant. And even in this evil and dark world we live in today, there are and will be always remnants. Someone will receive the word, believe the word, and be saved by the blood of Jesus. Isaiah was an active prophet, and he served under five kings. You might say, Sister Diane, why are you mentioning that? Because that's a great, great thing that was accomplished. Just like here in the United States of America, we have kings every We have a president every 4 years. And usually when the president leaves his office, he bring his own people in. Well, just like with kings, when one king went out, that king brought who they wanted in. And they very seldom kept the prophet or the priest that was in place because they wanted to get someone that's going to agree with them. You could imagine that. But Isaiah served under seven kings, under five kings. Now that's a great feat. It's an accomplishment in itself. And it makes Isaiah be known as the greatest prophet of all. You see, there are many miracles. One thing I did, Isaiah prayed. He prayed. And God moved the sun back 15 years and added 15 years to Hezekiah's life. I didn't know this till I did this lesson, but Isaiah spent 3 years stripped, naked, and barefoot in obedience to God as a sign and wonder against the Egyptians. How you like that? You can look it up in the book of Isaiah. God wanted Isaiah to be barefoot and naked. And he told him that that's what he was going to do to the Egyptians that was going to try to do harm to them. Isaiah grasped the Hebrew language and has been likened to Shakespeare. it has been said that Shakespeare's writing couldn't compare to Isaiah. From Isaiah's lifestyle, we can learn that when God accomplished a part of his plan through us, God to do is make sure we give him the glory. Because it's not about us. Everything is a part of God's master plan that he formulated before the foundation of the world. And each and every one of us was included. And God is working it out together for the good at this time. So whenever God's plan is being worked out, his master plan with the intended purposes is used, when you are used for God's master plan, make sure you give him the glory. You see, in the book of Isaiah, may be compared to the Bible. The Bible has 66 books. Isaiah has 66 chapters. The Old Testament has 39 books. Watch this, y'all. The first section of Isaiah has 39 chapters. And it's divided into two divisions. So it's the first part is 39 chapters. How you like that, y'all? And it covers the judgment, the history, and the sin of Israel. And the New Testament has 26. And it begins with the gospel, good news of Jesus Christ. The last section of Isaiah has 27 chapters, chapter 40 through 66, and we are in 53 tonight, so we know we are in the last part, which would be placed side by side and mirrored with the prophecies and God telling the people what's going to come, the New Testament. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in that chapter is a book of consolation. See, he talked about the judgment and doom and gloom and their sins and so on in the first 39. And now he come with consolation in the last 27. That's like us with the New Testament. Consolation and in the New Testament, the ministry, the person, the life of Jesus Christ. You see, the New Testament ends by referring to the new heavens and new earth, which is found in Revelation 21, 1 through 3. Isaiah, in his book, describing the same thing in chapter 66 and 22, it says, "For as a new heaven and a new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain." Hallelujah. That's what God talking to Jesus Christ. And it's amazing how God gave that revelation to Isaiah. To Isaiah, y'all. And he gave this to Isaiah 700 before Jesus was born. Come on, y'all. What a mighty God we serve. God don't leave his people in the dark. You see, God designed, promised a master plan for his people have not been hidden. The Old Testament had prophets. And the day we have the word of God, God used the prophets. He gave them his word, gave it to the prophet. The prophet gave it to the people. And we have the Holy Bible. Come on, y'all. Jesus has come. God has established us with his righteousness. so that we could commune with him. And God, give us his word. And in his word is where he speaks to us. He spoke through the prophets to them. He speak to us through his word with the aid of the Holy Ghost. What a mighty God we serve, y'all. Isaiah was the first writing of the prophets. Hallelujah. You see, the prophets who have writings in the Bible are not the only prophets of God. You may not believe that, or you may never thought of it. But others are Moses, Abraham, Aaron. You know, Aaron was the priest. Aaron was Moses' brother. Deborah, a woman. She was a prophetess. And John the Baptist, just to name the few. And I could go back further than that, because we got to remember, I think it's in the back of the lesson, but I just wanted you to know that the 17 known prophets wasn't the only prophets in the Bible. And now we're going to go to our lesson. Verse 1. Who has believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire. Come on, y'all. You got to look at this, and you may not have known him, but this is the prophecy God gave Isaiah about the coming of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to read it again. Who has believed our report? And whom is the arm of God revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, you know, and a root out of a dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. Comeliness mean your appearance, meaning he wasn't a good looker, you know. He wasn't much to see and desire after. Come on, y'all. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. You see, the world would have sent him, like they call it eye candy. And, he's so fine. And, he dressed so good. This is what God told Isaiah. You see, salvation has always been God's desire for his people. Even in the midst of all of the suffering, judgment, and punishment towards his people, which are the consequences for theirs as well as our actions, Jesus took away the sins of the world. But he said the consequences for those sins belong to them, the Israelites. And the consequences of our sin belong to us. So, you know, some people say, oh, that's too easy. That's too easy of a word for all your sins to be forgiven. Jesus accomplished the forgiveness of our sins. But the word of God lets us know those sins that we do commit, the consequences for those sins belong to us. And we got to pay for the consequences. Y'all know what I'm talking about. So ain't nobody getting away with anything. And no matter how God came down on the Israelites and his prophets and his people, if you just kept on reading, even in the same book, sometime the same chapter, God always came back with a message of hope. You see, we have to realize God made a promise to Abraham. that the Israelites and the Jews would be his prime, his special people. Even though he made them his special people, he never not made them his special people. But they have consequences for their actions. God is faithful. God didn't change. They changed on God. Isaiah gave this prophecy, like I say, 700 years before Jesus was born. And we have writing over 2,000 years ago. God took 40 men from all walks of life and allowed them by his divine instructions to pen the Holy Bible. That's God speaking to us because he don't want us to be in the dark. You see, it is well worth reading the entire book because in it we see much wisdom that still applies to our Christian lives today. The first part of Isaiah speaks of Israel's sin, evil, disobedience, and God's judgment. But this chapter we in tonight, the 53rd verse, speaks of consolation, redemption, salvation, forgiveness, and hope. It speaks about the coming of the Messiah, Jesus, who would suffer for the sins of all people, who would believe that God would choose, to save the world through an humble. See, people have a hard time seeing that. Y'all know in the Bible when they talked about Jesus, the people say, who you talking about? Joseph boy? You talking about that boy from Galilee? Ain't nothing ever came out of Galilee. See, they downplay it. That's how so many of us been downplayed in our lives. You know, they downplay you from where you came from. They downplayed you for who your family was. They downplayed you maybe because of your education. And many times they just downplayed you because they downplayed you, and other times because of the way you look. Or maybe how you dress. And that's what they did to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Who would believe that God would do it like that? You know, they thought that he would send a glorious king. You remember when Samuel was sent to Jesse's house to anoint the new king after God would release Saul? Jesse had, I think it was seven, and I think I read something else. But anyway, Jesse had a lot of sons. And when Samuel, man of God, because it was just the culture, you want the best looking one. When Samuel got there, he probably took the best looking, the tall and the most handsome one, and pulled the oil on him first. And quickly realized that it wasn't the one that God had chosen. So he went through all of the boys. Y'all remember the story. And he told Jesse, you got to have another son. He said, I got that little scraggly boy out there, David. Smelly. Not well kept. Samuel said, go get him. David came in and Samuel pulled the oil. Samuel said, that's it, bingo. He is the one. See what the world, how the world chooses and count as good. That's not the way God does it. That's not the way God does it. You know, the scripture talk about the arm of God, but I want you to know that it's his, the arm of God. What did the scripture say about the arm of God? Who to whom is the arm of God revealed? That's what the scripture says. So right here I'm saying the arm of the Lord, which is his divine power, will be revealed as his will is done. And believe it, God often works in ways we don't expect. God works in ways we do not expect. When the Messiah is being described here, it is not so much his appearance, but God is letting you know that he will be humble. That's why he used the word tender plant. A tender plant had a small beginning, as well as how much his life and ministry was going to be miscalculated. And we know that. We know that. And even today, after all the Old Testament, all the New Testament, Jesus born by the Virgin in Bethlehem, and John the Baptist leading the way, talking about to repent, to get it ready, the hearts and the minds of the people, for when the Messiah would come, he was chosen, John the Baptist, by God, to prepare the way for Jesus Christ. And they still miscalculate the importance of Jesus' life and work. Hallelujah, y'all. Verse 3, he is despised. And when that word despised there is letting us know that he would be scorned and rejected, mean he will be abandoned. You know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, when they came and they took Jesus away, all of the men left. Come on, y'all. And even when he hung on the cross, they say no one was there but John. Abandoned. Now, this God telling Isaiah. So you listen at this, what God's saying. You can see if it lines up with what really happened. Because you see, those people was looking forward to the Messiah. And we looking back because he's already come. But he said he will be scorned, abandoned of men of sorrow, men of sorrow. The pain he would endure, that's what he's talking about. God said he's going to be a man of sorrow, and he's going to be acquainted with grief. That means he's going to have many injuries, y'all. Y'all know the story. And we hid as it was our faces from him. And we turn away, and they turn away because the beating was so gruesome. They say he couldn't be identified. He didn't look like a human. Look what God said. And we hid as it were our faces from him. You couldn't bear to watch. And it goes on to say he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our grief. What grief they talking about? Our spiritual sickness. And carried our sorrow. Yet we did esteem him stricken. And watch this. This Isaiah talking, but God told him he was stricken of God and afflicted. Come on, y'all. God allowed this to happen to his only begotten son, that whosoever believes shall not perish, but have an everlasting life. For you and for me, thank God for letting Isaiah give this hope to the people of the Old Testament. Hallelujah. And it goes on in the fifth chapter, the fifth verse. It says he was wounded. Mean pierced. You know, they pierced him in the side. See, this is what Isaiah wrote 700 years before Jesus Christ was born. And look at the description. And look at the wording. And we can know, besides God never leaving his people in the dark, God always give you enough evidence to know what he said is true. Now look what the fifth verse says. But he was wounded. That means when they pierced him in his side for our transgressions, which are our sins, he was bruised for our iniquity. And when our iniquity showed up, that's our moral evils. He was bruised for our iniquity, which is our moral evils. And then it goes on, and the chastisement, correction and discipline of our peace, given an opportunity to have a relationship with God. Hallelujah, y'all. All of that was up on him. And with his stripes, talking about his wounds, that shed his blood, and by his stripes, we are healed. We amended and we are cured. How you like that? Glory be to God. What a mighty God we serve, y'all. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. You see, here we see a picture of the suffering of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Messiah. This gives the fact of the punishment we deserve, the debt we owe and couldn't pay, and God sent his son full of grace and mercy. Yes, Jesus paid the price in full, and all to him we owe. God knew we could never redeem ourselves. And they have some people want to talk and teach the teaching that you have to be perfect because God is perfect. You know, we were made perfect as far as righteousness. When we accept Christ as our Savior, God extended his righteousness towards us so that we could be able to fellowship with him. Come on now. If any man, woman, boy, or girl could become perfect, could have done it all right, God would have never had to send his son to die. He wouldn't have. You know, God knew we could never redeem ourselves, so he sent us a Savior, a Redeemer, a Lord, a Master. And here Isaiah is speaking of the spiritual healing and the forgiveness which can work all things out together as we are being made whole. You have to wonder how could an Old Testament purpose understand the idea actually of Christ dying for our sins, actually bearing the punishment that we deserve. You see, the people in the Old Testament had to look forward for the Messiah. And we look back, for he has already come. Hallelujah. God was pulling aside the curtain of time to let the people in Isaiah day look ahead to the suffering of the Messiah and the forgiveness that was going to be made available to all mankind. Today we have the gospel of the word of God, and yet some still don't believe. John 20 and 29 says, Jesus said unto them, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed it. But blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And this here, verse 6 says, we are all like sheep, we gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. That's meaning that everybody now, and it is true, but God gave this to Isaiah. this long time ago, and it's so prevalent for today. We are like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. What the word of God say? Doing what seemeth right in your own eyes. Lean into your own understanding. They was doing it back then, and they still doing it now. And I can guarantee you it's going to be going on till Jesus come and we meet him in the air. Hallelujah. Until the final judgment of Jesus Christ of the enemy. And he cancel out death. It's going to be going on. It's going to even be going on in the tribulation. The 7 years. Where there's a chance for some to be redeemed. After all of that, the rapture going to be done happen. This going to be done happen. They're going to be seeing the word of God that they heard and couldn't understand going to be seeming more live to them. And yet, it's going to be going on. And the Lord said to him, in iniquities of us all, the Lord laid on him. That's what he was stricken violently, y'all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. And the reason they use sheep in the sixth verse, because sheep, when they go to slaughter, they don't say anything. God asks us to be like sheep. He was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers was dumb. Now this God telling y'all know a sheep is dumb. I don't want you to be dumb, but I want you to have that mentality, realizing that I'm in control. So he opened not his mouth. That's what God told Isaiah about the coming of Jesus Christ. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. And I had some more scriptures, but I really feel blessed. Because when I started, I told you I have a 2-month-old baby in the studio, and before the program came on, she wouldn't go to sleep. And she's sitting right here, and she's not saying any words. I say, God, if she don't go to sleep before the program, you might not deliver that for what I asked, because, you know, if she would have been asleep, it would have been good. I say, but if she's not asleep, you sometimes don't always take the problem from us, but you work it out together for our good. Come on now. God did this. It's been almost an hour. Sitting here with our eyes wide open, and she's not saying anything. But I press and pray that you guys finish reading the rest of that chapter. And see what God had to say about Jesus way back then. And thank God, because he don't leave his people in the dark. And that's our lesson for tonight. Any questions, comment, or concern? Anybody know anything about Isaiah they want to share tonight? Anybody know anything about the coming of Jesus Christ that they want to share? You could press the 1 button on your phone. I just want to say God is a mighty God. And I thank God for not leaving us in the dark. How many times God had given you a word, even from a person or through the word of God or the Holy Spirit speaking to your spirit? That's God not leading, allowing you to be in the dark. And I want you to know that's what God does with us and for us. And that's why I picked this thing to show how God told the prophet Isaiah all of those years ago, because he wanted to give them hope. And they had to have faith and believe that Jesus would come and could save the world, just like we by faith had to believe as well. Because I used to always question, how could the people in the Old Testament be saved if we had to be saved by Jesus and Jesus wasn't born? Same way, by faith. Abraham was righteous. He did what was right because it was the right thing to do. God counted that as righteousness, which granted him grace. Come on, y'all. And that's our lesson for tonight. Anyone would like to say anything at this time, you can. Just press the one button on your phone. I thank God for what he did for me tonight. I thank God for each and every one of you guys. I encourage you, like I say, to read the rest of that chapter. When we do a Bible study, we have a good 45 minutes. We can't give you all of the doctrine and all of this. We could give you this and we could give you that. And the purpose of you going to Bible study is to get a word. And then you should expound on it. You should meditate on it. You should look it up and know for yourself. That's why 2 Timothy 2:15 say that we should study to show ourselves approved. Workmen need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. And if that's it for tonight, I don't want to push it. But again, I thank you guys. And most of all, I thank God, the Father, for making a way out of no way for us. Come on, y'all. We got to give him the praise, God, and glory. Because first of all, he deserved it. And second of all, he created us for his praise and honor, to give him praise, honor, and glory. So at this time, I'm going to call our intercessor back. And she's going to do the benediction of prayer. If anybody would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone at this time. And before the benediction comes, you could pray. God has given us this forum where we could do things like that. God is always going to make a way for you to use what he gave you. He's going to always make room for your gift. He's going to always present an opportunity for you to do service in kingdom building. So if anyone would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone. I'll open your mic and you could lead us to God's throne of grace. If not, Sister Pam, your mic is open.
Benediction tonight is coming from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what's pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. I thank you guys. And Heavenly Father, I thank you for allowing us to be able to get through the lesson tonight. It's all by your grace, all things through Christ Jesus. Let us continue to press towards the mark of the prize for the high calling, which is Christ Jesus. And let all of us get to a place where we could say, as Paul said, for us to live is Christ and to die is gain. If it's God's will and your desire, we'll be back on next week. But until then, go in peace. And be blessed. Love all of y'all. Good night.
Good night.
You did it. You did it, little girl.